sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. Good evening, everybody. This is Will Bluewater coming to you on Oklahoma Native American Church Radio. Our guest this evening is Carl Johan Kalimann. And, you know, of all the authors in the last 30 years or so that have written on this subject, this man's got to be, you know, the first top of the list, the first two or three and of authors that have offered wisdom on this subject and trying to wake people up. And so welcome, Carl, and we want to we also have another caller in, calling in from area code 916. Who's this?
Hi, I'm just a listener. My computer's broken, so I'm listening by phone, if you don't mind. Thank you.
I'll go ahead and just put you on. I'll turn your mic off, and you'll be able to listen to the whole show. So, and thank you for listening, Carl Johan. I don't know if you may not remember me. A few years ago, I contacted you and I told you about my father's father, who was born in Melby.
That's right. Oh, I definitely remember that. And it's actually quite a long time ago, I would say. I would guess it's around 15 years ago or something like that. But
yeah,
yes,
about 10.
As I recall, you were part Cherokee and part Swedish.
Right.
Is that correct, right?
That's correct. Yep, dad's father was born in Melby, and his mom was from Germany, and my grandparents, paternal grandparents, migrated here in the early part of the last century. And but it's, you know, they're wonderful people, and I've since met, you know, a lot of other folks from Sweden and Scandinavia. My first wife served a full-time LDS mission to Denmark, so whenever we went to places where Swedish was spoken, a little bit different accent, but, you know, I guess all three languages read the same, I guess, and they have different inflections.
Yeah.
And
pretty much.
And well, I wish I would have had a chance to go. I know my dad's second cousin in California, they went on a
sabbatical back in the late 60s and brought back pictures of our cousins, the Pearsons and the Vegmarks, and they all have the olive skin like I do, and there are rumors that there were indigenous people that were somehow ended up in Sweden a long time ago too, and Portuguese possibly, and just some rumors I've heard about. But
okay,
enough yeah. about me. We've I've not to insult you, but I've called you I've called you a Mayanista extraordinaire, and because I want folks to know that there are controversies within the subject in between people. So we thought it'd be very interesting if you could fill us in on that kind of stuff. But first, we want to have Mark Borcherding do a Mayan birth reading on you, and
okay.
we'll see what makes you tick. And
okay,
and so we'll get the badger on board here. Yeah, there he is. Ah, absolutely. Okay. Okay, so do your magic, Mark.
Well, Carl's, he, I'm sure he's already aware of his birth sign and such. It's a 5 Jaguar, and these each have some significant meanings to it. The 5 kind of has to do with the raising or elevating things in creation. And the Mayans elevate things when they go to a next time level, next time cycle. It would also have to do with the element of ether, the 5th element, 5, 5th. And it's more of a feminine energy, but it's also a partnering energy with masculine energy. So it kind of works both ways. And then it also is a day that's a sign, has to do with nature, but also investigations into things, especially things that require a pretty hefty amount of intuition, as well as applying some scientific technique that may basically border on magic and divination and stuff like that, and consciousness. Psychic abilities and stuff. A person might demonstrate that. It's the Jaguar is also connected into Rainbow Jaguar Woman Ischel, and so the Jaguar is one of the more prominent, powerful totem animals all throughout Central and South America because of its ability to move through the underworld. And a lot of the things that are associated with this show and Spider Woman and stuff like that have to do with the underworld, going underneath and digging into things, a lot of things like that. So now we'll do another component here that Carl isn't familiar with, and that's going to be his birth more from the standpoint of the 6th sun viewpoint. And it's going to have 3 components to it: a forward flow of time, a backward flow of time, on where the 2 time flows come together and create a unity or zero or balancing point.
Huh?
So we'll take the way we view time normally, the forward flow, and in this one he has a energy that's related to the number 9 comes up, and also your owl or condor energy. And it connects in, and that goes into the, more into South America. Also, it's going to connect into the owl. Now, in the Mayan stuff, the owls are ones that burrow into the ground. So the owls are the messengers of the underworld. So we now have another thing coming up here for him of underworld with the owls combined with the jaguar. And it's this is also linking into a aspect of the star system of the Pleiades, and also to the what the Hopi call the purification. And it's gonna connect into that as well. So, and then Moving on the other side, on the backward flow of time, this is more energy that's probably been showing up more in recent years. Like we usually say, it's, you know, somewhere 1997, 98, somewhere around in there, a little bit after, you know, but probably been showing up more in recent years in his life. And it's bearing one of the new glyphs. And it's another cross-type glyph that goes with the T-cross of Eek. And but its color is green, so it's connecting into the part in the Mayan Popol Vuh where it's the sun is gone, and they're doing some prayers there, and they have a couple prayers in there, and both of them mention the green path. They don't talk about the other colors, just that one, because they're moving through between worlds, so they're just focusing on the center of the Mayan medicine wheel. And his key things on it is things about soul, attracting soul, things that have to do with joy, but also dealing with issues of forgiveness of things. And it's at a very basic start of a cycle level, so it's kind of has an aspect of, you know, powerful thing of the intention of it. And this particular day sign sitting actually in the center. It starts the center of the last cycle of the six sun Vulcan, and it partners very heavily with Hu-Nebku. It has an awful lot of energy that's talking about the cycle that we're kind of osmosisizing into right now. We're trying to get into it more completely. And so those issues are probably going to come up for him, like I said, here in recent years. So very powerful things of working with Hu-Nebku on things to deal with, dealing with joy, consciousness, intention, and also forgiveness, which is probably what the planet needs a lot right now with all the wars and stuff we had. Then when these two time flows come together, it's very interesting because the day that's coming up here actually is a day that relates to the Hopi elder, Grandfather Martin, that just passed away. He had this exact same thing on the backward flow of time, but here on Carl's, it's on the unity flow. And it's a con glyph, and so it's going to connect also very heavily back into also the Pleiades, and this is kind of the balancing or the gateway, or doorway, or bridge in between world cycles for him. So these type things are kind of things that help him get through it, but also it's also skills and talents are things that he can bring to the table too, to also bring across some other people across that bridge as well. Now, to give you an idea, the overriding energy here in this particular cycle is peace. That's the name of this particular cycle. It's a peace energy. And so, and it has a lot to do with focusing on things in areas, especially to produce awareness with people. It has an aspect of here both flourishing and prosperity. Real strong thing here about oneness, things coming together in Lakesh, Omotakiasin, stuff like that. Is a real big component here. Also, some things coming up with both Venus and Arcturus. And those two things are going to come in, and those are going to give him extra strength and power in the areas of art and creating things. Any kind of art. It could be, you know, graphical art, it could be written art, it could be just communication art, but creating it. So, and those things are going to be especially powerful when they're dealing with the issues of bringing everything together as one, and that thing about peace is going to be a real strong component of it. And then it has some, let me see here. As well, it has a partnering energy here that is Eek. which is Blue Otter's birth sign. So that's where you guys are connecting. And also, the Eek is connected, linked into the Jaguar energy. So we have here the thing with the Eek and the Pleiades kind of combination. Now, that brings up his other one that we talked about before, the Five Jaguar, because this Eek thing is linking to that. And in the Mayan Zolk'in, and the Five Jaguar is preceded by a Four Jaguar, exactly 40 days before. And that Four Jaguar is actually significant and links to Carl, because if you look at what they call the Aztec Sunstone or the Calendar Stone, the first world cycle on there is actually Four Jaguar. And then if you go into Mayan Chalam Balam book and look, when the Yulnul or 20-day count of the Zolk'in is created and born, the Four Jaguar is the fourth day of that sequence. And it says in there that on that particular day, the sky and the earth tilted. That is probably when the three hearthstones, what most people believe is in the stars of Orion, actually changed their place in the sky when that tilt occurred. So now if that happened, there's also another set of stars that we call the Big Dipper. And in some of the Mayan traditions, the Big Dipper is called Seven Macaw, but in some of them it's also a jaguar. So the jaguar was the one that moved when the North Pole star shifted, all these things shifted. The jaguar also shifted and moved into the underworld. So that's connecting, linking all this stuff together. So Carl has a lot of, things that have to do with, in a nutshell, consciousness in the underworld.
Yes. Yeah.
That would kind of sum it up.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to hear. I mean, in the beginning, it was kind of familiar to me, but it was great to hear these with the backward time and the connections to the Pleiades and so forth. It seems like I resonate very much with what you're sort of outlining for me as a purpose and so forth. So thank you.
Well, we really appreciate it. It's always good to have a friend with underworld connections.
Yes. Yes.
Real underworld. Well,
right.
One other key thing, though, is Blue Otter, is if Carl hadn't looked at it already, I'd really suggest him go through and look at the connections with Spider-Woman, both with the Hopi, the Zuni, and also in Mesoamerica.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Really go back and look at that real closely, because there's a lot in there for him.
Yeah. I was interested to see this connection with Grandfather Martin, who passed away recently. You said I did not know that there was a connection.
Yeah, I actually when I the first time I visited him, I actually visited him on his birth sign.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
The same
wow.
one is coming up in your birth.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. So, and that's interestingly enough, that's the one that's connected to the Pleiades and also Korn.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Korn is very important to the Hopi and also in the Mayan and the Mayan creation story. So, yeah.
Oh yeah.
What you might want to do is get a picture of him. He's real good. He's real good at communicating with people in dreams. He probably got even better now that he's on the other side. And so you go get a picture of him on the internet and just print it out and stick it under your pillow before you go to sleep.
I'll do that.
That kind of is a good way to initiate and trigger a dream connection. He might come and visit you.
Okay. That's good. That could be very helpful. Yeah.
Well, as far as the rest of the time, it's yours. You know, let the spirit lead and talk about whatever you'd like to tell us. I'm sure Creator's got a message for us.
Okay. Well, you might say to begin with, the Pleiades is something I feel I'm now reconnecting with. It was sort of it was something I felt very strongly connected to in the 80s and early 90s and so forth. And then somehow I lost the connection, and through a number of reasons, I think. But now, just recently, I really felt, have regained that kind of connection. And especially since my own birthday, as you have checked out, May 15th, it's the beginning of the solar conjunction, when the Pleiades are on the opposite side of the sun. And I think what happens is that then some kind of an energy is focused through the sun from the Pleiades, and I've started to feel some, you know, like there is some kind of a live contact there going on, and it's a helpful energy, I think. It's a kind energy, I would say, too. It's a beneficial energy, and so forth. But I should talk a little bit about. Before I go into what I want to say, it's really, I mean, given your Cherokee background, and I think we might actually have touched upon this a long time ago, but I used to have contact with an elder, a Cherokee elder by the name of Raven Hale. And she passed away, I can't remember exactly, I think it's around 10 years ago or something like that. But it comes back because she was born in the year 1921, as I recall, and she her parents had then been told that she was born in the day sign of a four panther, which would be the same as Jaguar in the Mayan calendar. Then she went on to write a book, the Sacred Cherokee Calendar, where she elaborated on the various day signs and the names that they would have in the Cherokee language and so forth, which are not exactly the same as the Mayan names, like Panther was replaced by Jaguar in the Mayan language, and of course had different languages spoken and so forth. But it's an interesting thing. The whole question, we think about this calendar system as being Mesoamerican, from Middle America, from Mexico and Guatemala and so forth. But apparently, what she claimed and what she reconstructed in her work was that this was also shared by some Native American groups living in Turtle Island or in what is currently the United States, and how far this went and how many people actually used to have this is a very interesting question, but it's kind of unexplored, I think. I don't know too much about it. The only thing I know about is really through my contact with her and having read her book, the Sacred Cherokee Calendar. But I come back to it because it's a funny thing, because I was told that it wasn't only five Jaguar that was important to me, but also four Jaguar that was 40 days prior to my own birthday. And that's actually then the kind of, that was her particular day sign. And so I don't know what to make of it. It's just that everything is connected, and that's really that.
Oh,
I
Carl?
Think, yes?
Get her picture and put it under your pillow with Grandfather Martin's picture.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, both of them. Yeah, I talked with Raven Hale too for a couple times too. Exchanged some poetry and different things with her. She told me a lot of different things. She said a lot about the Pleiades too.
Yeah. Okay. I thank you for that. I will put it down there on the pillow and see what mysterious dreams I may have.
She may come in and share some stuff with you.
Yeah. But in terms of what I want to say myself, and you know, what we've talked about so far is is really giving a lot of examples of how everything is connected. And and what I feel is that that experience of everything being connected is something that is currently growing. It's coming to a number of people, and we're in the beginning of a world where people will see that things are they're all connected, and I have written a number of books on the Mayan calendar. But mostly, you might say, what the big picture, and not the kind of, I've done some divination work myself, but mostly the focus has been to see what did the ancient Maya with their calendar, what did they really envision, and how could they their system actually tell the world something about where we are now. And despite the fact that to so many people the 2012 year was kind of a disappointment, because there were so many people making various kinds of claims, both very negative and both very positive, and yet the change that happened was much more complex, I think, than anybody could have imagined. And having said that, I think that the Mayan calendar is just as valid as it has ever been, more so than ever. And when I say valid, then I mean by that not only valid as an entry point to divination, as we talked about here, but valid in terms of telling us about how consciousness is evolving and how we can be part of it, and so forth. And recently I was at that the gathering in Sedona, the Quetzal, the eagle and the condor flying together. And I had a chance there to expand on how I look upon this from the big scale perspective of the Mayan calendar. And I want to say some things about that. And I'd like to present a little bit more of a background for the listeners, that the key thing, I should say that to begin with, despite all the talk about what would happen on the shift that happened 3 years ago, there was actually only one singular Mayan inscription from ancient times that talked about this shift that the world would go through now. And that's the so-called Tortuguero Monument, Tortuguero Monument number 6. And it was written sometime in the 7th century. And it's located, this inscription is located not very far from Palenque, the much more famous site of Palenque. And what it says in this particular inscription is that something they called Bolon Yocte Ku, which means something like the Bolon in Mayan language means 9, Yocte means probably means levels, supports. There are a couple of different interpretations of that word, and then Ku, it means God or temple. So it's sort of a 9 support temple that will, at this point in time, and we're talking about our own particular time, it will appear and it will be witnessed in its full regalia. That's what this inscription in Tortuguero actually said. And before going into what that could mean, you know, we should be really humbled, I would say, by the fact that they actually, in those days, which is about 1300 or 1400 years ago, they actually did write an inscription about what would happen in our own particular time. You know, it's as if somebody today would be writing an inscription about what would happen in the year 3400 or something like that. It wouldn't occur to anyone to do that with any kind of feeling that they had something to say about that. We essentially feel we don't really know what will happen so much into the future. But the Maya did so. These people in Tortuguero did write such an inscription. And what is the meaning then? Well, a fundamental analogy we have to this, that the nine level temple will appear in this full regalia. We have the metaphor in the form of the Mayan nine storied pyramids, and they are not. The nine storied pyramids, they are the central pieces in many of the most important Mayan temple sites or cities. Like Tikal, we have the temple of the jaguar, which is nine levels, nine terraces. There is the temple of the plumed serpent in Chichen Itza, which is in nine levels. There is the temple of the inscriptions in Palenque, which is built in nine levels. So this is these temples are then really a metaphor for a metaphysical evolutionary process that the Maya were fully aware of in those days. And I think it's only now that we really have come to grips with the fact that these temples actually symbolized an evolutionary process, where when you climbed it, which is what the ancient Mayan kings would do, you would actually go through level by level, step by step. You would climb the process. You would go through the evolutionary process of the universe at large. And as you climb it, as you go through each of these levels, you're in resonance with one new mind frame that creates a world, it's an underworld, you might say, but it's also that mind frame creates a certain kind of a world. And the meaning of this inscription in Tortuguero that dealt with the shift that happened 3 years ago, the meaning is that the nine-storied pyramids, the nine-story divinity will then appear in its full regalia, will be witnessed in its full regalia. It means that at this point in time, all the nine levels of creation will be active. And that's a completely novel situation that we're faced with today, because it was only as recent as in the year 2011 that the highest level of these nine was activated, became accessible to us. And so in much of my books that I've published in the past, I've dealt with the meaning of the you might say the lower eight levels. They each develop, they each serve to evolve a phenomena like biological species and so forth, and then it's the whole human history basically that has come out of what you might say the sixth level of this nine-storied pyramid, the long count. that started 5,100 years ago about and created the first civilizations of our planet in Egypt, in Sumeria, and in several other places as well. And so that when that wave was, this level of consciousness was activated 5,100 years ago, a new world was created. The frames of understanding, the frames of mind that the human beings would embody would change, and a new form of looking at the world was activated. And the same is true then for the higher waves. The next wave that was activated was the seventh wave. That was the one that was started in 1755 and created industrialism and democracies, and the world changed in many significant ways. But the mid-1700s, you know, the world started to be industrialized, and that's an enormous change. Then came the eighth wave that was activated in 1999, quite recently then, really. And one of the significant aspects of that was the creation of, you might say, smart technologies or the interactive internet, etc., etc. And the world, and that is a wave that very markedly continues to change the world as it is today. It has a range of different other effects as well, but that is one of the most evident and clear changes that have happened in the world since 1999. Now, at the top level, though, of this pyramid is the ninth wave. And that was activated in 2011. And that is something that brings in a completely new possibility to us human beings. Because the lower waves have always had these aspects of duality, of creating separation. And So that's the reason, basically, that for the past 5,100 years, humanity's history has really been a history of warfare. It's because the kind of mind that people have downloaded in this whole era of the Long Count has been one that separates and creates conflicts. And that's the result, you might say, of this particular wave. But the ninth wave that was activated now in 2011 has another character. It's quite different from the others in the sense that it has no dark filter. It doesn't make humans look upon the world as through a dark filter. So it doesn't create duality, it doesn't create judgment, it doesn't create conflict. Instead, it's a carrier of unity consciousness. It's a carrier of a mind that sees the connections between everything that's around us. And so this is the wave of the future. I would call it the destiny wave of humanity. And it is the wave that will allow the condor and the eagle to fly together. Or if you want a kind of prophecy from another part of the world, it is the wave that prepares for the return to the Garden of Eden. Not, of course, in the sense that everybody will be living out in nature, but the Garden of Eden in the sense that everybody will be connected to the divine and everybody will be fully connected to nature and one another and not be creating these separating mechanisms that have been typical of the lower waves of the Mayan calendar system. So it's a completely new possibility, and it also completes the evolution, because No, now the full regalia is what the Mayan inscription is saying about what will happen at this particular point in time. In other words, that all of the nine waves are active and running, and we may download them. And taken together, it sort of creates like a multi-dimensional reality for us, because we have now all of these waves, all of these frames of minds that have driven human history from the very beginnings are now possibilities for us to resonate with. Well, they are now possibilities for us to download, and that is the meaning of the full regalia being witnessed at our particular time, and that's the reason that we have a new possibility. Now, having said that, it's not like the ninth wave replaces all the lower waves with all the conflicts and so forth that have been associated with it. And so what we see, it may seem paradoxical to people if they're not aware that the shift that happened a couple of years ago involved all nine levels. It involved the whole multidimensional reality that the system of the nine waves are creating. So what that means is that at the same time as we see and hear a lot of people who are now experiencing a kind of new divine flow in their lives, at the same time as we see that, we see an intensification of crazy conflicts in other parts of the world. And the reason is that nobody is obliged to resonate with the ninth wave. You can choose if you like, and obviously some people do it, and it's very obvious in the Middle East that some people are resonating now with the most dualist of the waves and getting into conflicts that are much worse than a couple of years ago, and generating hatred and polarity and so forth. It's, in other words, we're not just automatically going to climb up to this unity consciousness of the ninth wave. We'll have to choose it. We have to intend it. And so I say that the Mayan calendar may be more important than ever before, because it tells people that now the new possibility is there. It's not something that is just a sort of an easy ride that would change everyone to automatically become a peaceful and loving person. But it is a possibility, and it's a possibility that I hope everyone will take. And it's a possibility that did not exist only a few years ago. It's something that has become possible since 2011, and over time, more and more people, I'm sure, will find that they want to resonate with this. They will find that not only is it something that helps heal humanity and helps heal the conflicts rather than to intensify them, but it helps heal them. And this wave is the wave of all the waves, as you climb the nine waves or the Mayan pyramids or the nine levels, every step, every terrace, you might say, symbolizes one frame of mind. But and one frame of mind that is generated in yourself as you create resonance with a particular wave. But as you climb these nine different levels, the frequency of the waves that are carrying these different frames of consciousness will increase. They actually increase 20-fold every time you climb to a higher level. And so while the lowest level of this pyramid have wavelengths that are in the on the range of billions of years, I mean, enormously long. We, when we now are at the top of the pyramid and on the ninth level, the wavelength is just about 36 days. So this is the unity consciousness wave. The ninth wave is also the wave with the highest frequency. And at the current time, I'm working with making this resonance with the ninth wave increasingly available to people. And you may go to the blog of my website, kalaman.com, and in the most recent of those articles there, it's all about helping people develop resonance with the ninth wave. And what's available now through helped by John Costura is a calculator where you can see where we are located in this ninth wave, and you can start to surf on the waves. We are also now working towards creating like a ninth wave portal that is a web portal where people can go to see where how the waves are going, and also with a lot of connected websites from all over the world that of people that are committed to develop resonance with this ninth wave. And to me, this is now my main focus. I'm in the process of writing a trilogy. The first part of this book is really it's called The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. It will be out of the shelves for about half a year now because it will be taken over by Inner Traditions as a publisher. But it will be followed by two other books. The first book is about how did the human mind emerge and how did the human civilization relate to the emergence of the human mind. And that is all about the long count of the Maya. In other words, the wave that created civilization 5,000 years ago. But then there will come two further books about that, and it's about the relationship between mind and consciousness. How, you know, what can we do today if we want to decouple this judgmental mind that have dominated humanity for such a long time? And then there will be a third book in this trilogy, which will be essentially how to develop resonance with the ninth wave. And I think this is really the destiny wave of humanity. And I can feel it's coming. I can feel that people will find that it's a very useful tool to have the ninth wave to follow and to resonate with and to see where they are. And because people that then really are aspiring to be part of the unity consciousness and to be part of the flying together of the eagle and the condor, they will increasingly see that their own lives, their personal lives, especially at this early point in the process, has sort of an upturn and a downturn that essentially follows the ninth wave. And in other words, when there is an upturn, like in any wave movement, something I usually call a day, because it's a period of light, then you will see that you find that all the projects that you're having, or all you're doing in order to be unity consciousness, be the all that is, and be the divine, all of these things will be have the wind on its back in those time periods, which are 18 days long. And then comes following those 18 days of unity and the experience of flow for whatever you are creating that is consistent with this unity, will be followed by a downturn, like a dip, a valley in the wave movement, which I usually refer to as a night, which is a time period when you really don't have that kind of a flow. Instead, what is required of us in those periods of the valley in the wave movement is really to process ourselves and to deal with all the things of our past that may block us from going further into the unity consciousness that comes with the next day and so forth. So what I expect will happen is that over time, and the ninth wave and all the different, the nine waves of the Mayan calendar system, they're endlessly continuing at this point. There's no particular shift, huge shift date coming for another 400 years or so. But we will increasingly resonate with especially the ninth wave, because we will find that this is the one that brings joy, that is the one that brings peace, and that is the wave that brings happiness. But it's not something that is just an easy ride. It is it's more like a roller coaster. And but once you set what is crucial for the destiny and the future of humanity, as I understand it, is that we set the intention, you know, regardless of the shortcomings that we all have as human beings, the hurts that we have inflicted on others and all the hurts that others have inflicted on us, these are things that we need to commit ourselves to lay to rest, to lay to the past. And the way of doing it is to resonate with this ninth wave that generates unity consciousness and sort of lifts us above all of these conflicts that not only that humanity have experienced on a large scale during the past 5,000 years or so, but there is things that we have also as individuals, each one of us, through in our life histories, that we have gone through all kinds of harmful life situations because of having been so dominated by a mind of duality. And what the Mayan, you know, there are many people, and I think that's very fortunate that talk about this, that we should, you know, find the road to unity consciousness and increase our frequencies, and we should lift ourselves above the duality of the past, and that's great. But what the Mayan calendar adds and really brings to the party is some exactness when it comes to these matters, that to tell us, you know, exactly when does a wave of unity begin, and how do we surf through it. And and here I just want to refer people who want to see these waves in action to my webpage, kalaman.com, and go to the blog there. And there are a couple of articles. It's all about surfing on the ninth wave, but it's also about the tools that are becoming available. And the advantage with the Mayan calendar, I think, is that it's not just loose talk. It's a very precise system, and it's precise. precise in the sense that it has a proven record of having being able to describe and even predict history as we know it. And history, as we know it from the history books, actually, to a very large extent, and that means that there is a connection to our everyday reality, and it's a connection to whatever efforts and desires that we are now putting into. This creating a world of unity consciousness, creating a world where the eagle and the condor fly together. And it won't happen automatically, but this is the wave that has been activated only 3 years ago, and the wave of destiny, the highest frequency that humanity may be in resonance with. And it is the purpose of this wave, as well as the entire system of the ninth wave, to bring humanity back to a state of consciousness that is one of unity and does not exacerbate the conflicts, but puts them to peace. And it's something I must emphasize, that it's not just sort of about looking at what happens in the world at large through television or whatever. This wave is something that each one of us can develop a resonance with, and so be part of the large-scale process that I'm convinced represents the destiny of humanity. And it's the Maya, that the ancient Maya, that should be credited for having developed a calendar system for that allows us to follow these waves and do it in a today we're able to do it in a conscious, willful way that I think will serve everyone.
Well, that was a mouthful.
and, well, you said the time was mine, right?
Oh, yeah. And I can't believe how concrete, cogent, and clear you are in this subject. And we applaud you for this work that you've done, for so many years. And, even something that's, kind of out of your... If there was a wheelhouse, Sweden's a long way from. But hey, everybody's invited.
Yeah.
Everybody's invited.
Everybody's invited.
Well, let's check with our two listeners and see if either one of them has a question.
Yep.
We have a couple of people listening. Do either one of you have a question for Carl Johan?
No, it's just so in.
I'll wait. You go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yes, I just think it's so fascinating. We really need to learn more about our history. It's just amazing just listening to him, and I want to say thank you for putting this guest on.
Sure. Well, the credit goes to Mac Boogaloo. This young fellow created Prophecy Keeper Z, which is, Prophecy Keepers, for the younger generation, and a little bit different spin on it, and he's in his 20s, I'm in my 60s, and bringing a whole fresh face to this, and he gets around a lot more, and he's bringing so much energy to this show. It's so nice not to have to schedule guests. It's a real struggle, but man, he's, especially with everything else that I'm juggling, I'm a caregiver for... my wife got some physical problems. Takes a lot of my time. So, thank you. I'll pass that along to Mac. Appreciate you listening. And the other caller, did you have a question?
No, not really. I had a lot of confirmations.
Oh, okay.
Because,
well, tell us about it. Tell
well,
us about
it. My life has pretty much followed what he said. And the thing with me is I didn't read books because I was writing, and I've written 6 books, and I still am not reading what other people have written until this gets published. And when I hear what he says, there is so much of what came through me of what he's saying. Like, I did a radio show in 2010, and I talked about the pyramid and the top point of it, bringing it into your heart and then connecting the base to your heart, mind, and that top point was what was going to bring your light body to the point of unity. And then I went on, then I traveled on the road for 2.2 years. I just lived out of my car, and I had tuning forks getting higher frequencies. All the way up the west coast of Florida, I played the Fasgill scale frequency and tones, and I got all kinds of, I'd ask for something, I'd get a sign. And so what he's talking about is so similar to what I've been doing, so I've been getting the messages, and it just makes me feel good that I was getting the right messages and giving the right
Great.
Outstanding. Well, Mark, do you have anything before we let Carl go? Did you have any comments?
Can I ask a question, though? What does that mean when the knowledge comes in through your heart in the Native American language or Mayan, whatever? Do you know what that means? What the word for it is?
I don't know the word for it.
Okay. I know there
but,
is
but
one.
But I know the experience.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at the word O-O-L.
O-O-L?
No, O-O-L. Just O-L. It means many things. It can mean like a circle, a ring. It can mean a portal. And it can also relate to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And in simple terms, it could be a medicine wheel, too.
Yeah, I always worked with the medicine wheel, but I did it in my own
now,
way. I didn't follow
your, what your top of the pyramid, if you looked at a pyramid from the air,
mm-hmm.
and you looked straight down at the top of the pyramid would be, it had the four directions, right? Would be the base of the pyramid. And the top of the pyramid would be in the center. And that actually forms a very important symbol. It relates to Quetzalcoatl, the whole eagle and condor thing. But also in the pyramid, the top, in the Mayan tradition, the center of the medicine wheel, which would be that where that top of the pyramid is when you look straight down on it, would be green. Well, if you look, I forget who it was. There were some people that did some research on pyramids. And to determine the torsion frequency energy coming out of the top of a pyramid was in the green spectral range.
Huh.
So that would be, and that would connect right into heart chakra. So, you know, that's where it all kind of, and remember what I said earlier when we were doing his birth reading about the Mayans doing the prayer between world cycles when the sun's gone and you're in darkness waiting for when the sun's going to come back. They have two prayers in their Popol Vuh Council book. And both of those prayers speak only of the green path. They don't speak of the white, red, yellow, or black or blue path. They just talk about green, the center path, which would be that top of that pyramid that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Or
so
the ninth wave
right.
that Carl's been talking about.
And telling people and that reference, put it in their heart. Put the top of the pyramid in your heart. And then when you get it flowing around, you're starting your light body. And what I was saying was that every one of your cells has a heartbeat. This was 2010. And that these heartbeats over time were going to light up. So now we all sparkle in light. Our light, we're activated into the unity now. So this happened between 2010 and 2014 to me, anyway. So I just thought that was great the way that you know, what you're saying is similar to what came through my heart. So that's just great. Yeah, that's okay.
Well,
I didn't have formal training.
That's the way creator worked, yeah. Well, and let me bring in something completely from left field. In the Hebrew tradition, they say that the very first act of creation that creator went about was to shine a green light. And so that began it all. So, you know, the green path is the path back to creator. Very obvious.
And I worked with the green.
What was your ancestor's name? green, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've got a green. Yeah, starting to green and
yep. To me, it was healing. It was the healing light, and I worked with the green light because I was a nurse for 32 years. So I have that green light going. I have my green tuning fork, which I think is like almost 500, because the gold one is 528, which is genetic healing. So it gets up to, no, the green is above that 528. Okay, it's 634, something like that. So
well,
I was working with the green light, but thinking it was more like Archangel Raphael. So, you know, we all had different meanings for that green light, but it came out to be the same thing.
Well, I said, well, we probably ought to let Carl go. And I've got to things to take care of here at the house. So,
thank you.
Hey, we appreciate everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Hey,
thank
good
you.
Night now. Bye bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
So that I may remember.